Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness, award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Thursday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with Dell, on this Thursday morning. You guys excited about this show today?
Yeah. Are you?
Yeah. Yeah.
You still okay? Did anyone give you the Rona? Did they pass it off to you like a baton?
No, I don't have the Roni. I'm fine.
Is everyone clear in the house yet?
You know, Wendy's getting there. It's already 2 weeks since she tested. So
no way.
Yeah, Frankie's going on a month now, so she's all clear.
Wait, she tested a month?
Yeah. She tested, you know, and then didn't get results back.
Right.
But then got them back, and it's going on. It's over 3 weeks now, so we're good. We're good.
So they have to get.
And they're not even, Wendy's not even, I mean, Wendy had some sinus stuff. I just heard from another friend, his wife and son have it, and they just, like, got a cold. So, you know, there's whatever it is, there's different strains of this. So it's, you know, when you could test positive and be asymptomatic. And in this case, Wendy had a sinus problem. That's it. So
that's unbelievable.
Yeah.
That there's, yeah. And you know what? I am wondering if COVID is, you know, what you brought up about maybe certain strains, if it's weakening. But, you know, who knows? I can't. It's almost like you can't even trust anything you read anymore. No one will just give you information. It's become impossible. Everything has a certain spin on it. And I'd like to see. That's why I guess we have to look to the Italians to tell us what's what, I guess. I guess that's where we are.
Yeah.
We just say, what's going on, Italy? Can you tell us? Can you tell us what's happening?
Yeah, because, like I said, we're the smartest people in the world. Thank you. Good night. And the leading the way, Italian doctors leading the way, Dr. Bertinelli or whatever his name was. How about that? Yeah. We got a lot of good stuff to talk about this morning here on the show. We were breaking down some numbers, and ESPN, their experts, their nerds, did it as well. And let's see if you can guess, Lance, what do you think the best record is going to be, the best record in baseball over the 60-game schedule?
Well, you saw the updated win totals, right?
Yes.
Okay. So, if the number is 38.5 is the best, Dodgers and Yankees are both 38.5. I actually think it's going to be closer to 41, 42.
Actually, you probably are going to be right. Past 5 years, the most wins through 60 games were 41, 41, 42, 42, and 39. So the chances are that it is going to be in the 40, 41, 42 neighborhood. That's through 60 games over the last 5 years. I don't know, though. I think because of the familiarity with the teams, because you're only playing teams in your division. Of course, the Astros dominate the division.
Right.
They really do. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, if they this will be a big advantage for teams that do, that have had the number of their division and been taking care of their division. Everybody seems to think it's going to be the Dodgers because, quite frankly, after the Dodgers, you know, Arizona is a pretty good team, but Colorado and San Francisco and San Diego are not. So the Dodgers might have the easiest road. This might be the NFL's AFC East with the Patriots all those years playing crappy teams like Miami. So this, that seems to be, and everybody's consensus is that the Dodgers, and it wouldn't surprise me at all if the Dodgers, they're what, 38.5? And the Yankees are both 38.5?
Based on the win totals, if you look at the 4-5, 2-3-4-5, theirs is 31.5, 31.5, 27.5, 25.5 in terms of the teams in their division. NL East has 33.5, 32.5, 31.5 with 2, 3, and 4. They're still in the 30s in the NL Central. In the AL West, Astros are at 35.5 wins. Right behind them, Oakland A's 33.5, Angels 31.5, and then Rangers and Mariners fall off to 29.5, 25.5. I think this is kind of a sneaky, easy one potentially. I don't want to say easy, but it's top heavy. You've got the Twins at 34.5. Then you have Indians at 32.5, White Sox 31.5, and then it drops to 24.5 with the Royals, and then the worst in baseball, tied for the worst with the Tigers. And then, the Yankees don't exactly have the hardest. They do have the Red Sox at 31.5, which is third. Tampa is actually 33.5. But then, Blue Jays and Orioles are kind of crap, easy. Yeah. When you go through this, I think Dodgers probably do. When you look at National League, not just division, but also – when you look at who they're going to be facing in the West, I would say you're right.
Yeah, that could. And the Yankees they got an easy road. But we were talking about it yesterday, Dell and I, about the AL Central, and that is a crappy division. Minnesota's a good baseball team, but when you look at the top teams in each and the NL Central, boy, I think you'd really like that. They got some good teams. I wouldn't be surprised if a 35-win team doesn't win those divisions. And it'll be interesting to see what the wild card is going to. Like the A's are 33.5. You could see the A's at 33 wins being a wild card team. And, I think that there might even be a 31-win team that could be a wild, 31-29. Look, they've got the Astros at, 35.5? 35.5 is their under-over. That's to beat that, you got to be 12 games over 500. That's a lot of games, and that's a lot to be over in the first 60 games of the season.
Well, so the only way that you are are going to get there at about the 500 mark is if it's really top heavy versus lower end teams, if there develops a chasm where the very best teams are just pounding the worst teams and really creating separation where you don't have the middle class, as it were. And that happens, that we see it happen in football, where the best teams, where the bad teams are really, really bad and they turn into easy wins. And we see teams that are 9-7, 8-8 get into the playoffs. We see it happen in football. It's not unrealistic that could happen in baseball. We could absolutely see something like that happen in baseball.
Yeah. They say this, what's the statistical category that could have the weirdest-looking 60-game leader? And they both think that it could well be pitchers with wins. They could see a six-way tie with six wins. Justin Verlander and Scherzer, Verlander.
That's six Kershaw, starts, though.
They're going to have 12 to 13 starts. They got 12 starts in their five-man rotation. So they got 12. And there's going to be some days off where you'll skip your fifth starter and he can pick up another. I predict they're going to have 13, 14 starts. And I could see a 10-game winner.
Well, so the problem is, and what they're probably accounting for, is that there are going to be times where your pitcher just can't go, just doesn't qualify. It doesn't qualify for the win because.
Well, your ace will, though. Your ace will. I don't know why would that be the case when, you got guys that rack up, 200 innings and, or three, there are guys that with 30 starts, you get to 200 innings. Why in the world would you not win in a shortened season when you know that they're going to, you can rely on that horse even more than ever.
Yeah, I think in theory, but we have to see if theory plays out. One thing we've seen with soccer so far that hasn't been the case when you haven't had the ability to build up your endurance, and that includes pitchers too. I mean, you got to really work. It will depend on how much pitchers have been putting into work, and if their bodies are really ready to go. We'll see. Here's the other thing: if there is a shortened season, which I'm almost positive there's going to be a shortened season now. I even question if baseball finishes. I don't see them finishing the entire season in baseball. I just think people will respond aggressively when there is an outbreak of coronavirus, and there will be. People are not going to be able to stay in. They're not going to be able to avoid it. They will go out. They will get it. It will spread on a team because we're seeing it. It's spreading really aggressively. I have a hard time believing after everything we're seeing right now that Major League Baseball players are going to isolate themselves at home and not spread it on a team. We see no signs of that right now. We see no signs of it unless you're in a bubble unless you're in a bubble. So I don't have a lot of, you know, I would play a lot of unders based on the fact that basically what you're also getting to play is the fact that Major League Baseball doesn't play the amount of games expected. I would say the stat that's going to be out there that is going to look unusual is a 400 hitter. I think we could see a 400 hitter. If there's a guy out there who's really seeing it well, you're talking about just over 60 games, maybe only 40 games, you know, 38 games. I think we could see a 400 hitter this year. Not like we'd even bat an eye at that.
No, that is a real possibility. That's something that is a possibility. I do think that there will be a double-digit winner. Somebody's going to go 9-1, 10-1, you know, in that in that neighborhood. So I think we
you'd have to get all your games in for the most part.
Yeah, if you get your games in, but somebody is going to be some pitcher is going to be dominant, and the pitcher is probably going to be ahead of the hitting early on. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. I think it's going to be an interesting season. I'm getting more and more excited about it. That seeing the guys play again and every game now, as opposed to in a 162 game season, every game now is going to mean so much. I mean, this is almost like it's almost three times what it's usually worth. So that's huge in this season. That'll be fun, and hopefully Bregman gets off to a good start. That's the one you could see that is problematic is Bregman, because he's a notoriously slow starter.
That is the one that concerns me, because you know, if it's a horse race, you know which horses are the early speed, you know which ones are closers. Bregman is more of a late out of the gate, and then he picks up speed, you know, midway through the to the early middle part of the season, he really starts to pick up his speed and get hot. That is a concern, I think, for the, you know, now you got to remember, now we're talking about Alex Bregman sometime can, and George Springer too, can get off to slower starts for the first month, and you don't even think anything about it. Ah, he's a slow starter in April. Now you're like, what? That's half the season.
Yeah, right. No.
I remember that. A month can cost you damn near half the season now. So you really can't afford the, you know, he usually is a really slow starter for the first month, month and a half. Like, well, then he's going to have a bad season.
Yeah. That's the case. Well, hey, Carlos Correa. Got to keep him healthy for 60, bro. Got to keep Carlos has got to stay healthy. Who was it? Says he's going to Dell. It was probably Dell said he's going to get a massage and then be out or something.
I didn't say he would get one. I said it should be a concern.
Oh, speaking of Carlos Correa, his podcast co-host, Lance McCullers Jr., will join us at 8 o'clock. And we'll talk to Lance about getting back to work, what his expectations are. He and Carlos Correa are going to be live. Where are they going to be on Saturday, John?
On Saturday, they're going to be at Warehouse Live.
Yeah, they'll be at Warehouse Live doing a live podcast.
Yeah.
And
we got tickets to give away, by the way. For the people that are out there right now? By the way, flash flood warnings in Harris County. Congratulations, Harris County. Big ups. Flash flood warnings right now. It's bad out there. So do we have an intern there, Del?
Yes.
We do? All right, let's take caller number 10. You get two tickets to go see at 4 o'clock. You watch the fights. The fights start at 4. The podcast will be going on with Carlos Correa and Lance McCullers, right? What is it, Walkout? The Walkout?
The Walkout Pod. Yeah, it's the Walkout. That's their podcast. It's an MMA podcast.
That's going to be going on live. You will be there listening to them, watching the fights at Warehouse Live, absolutely free. So let's go. Caller number 10, 713-780-3776. Let's give away a couple of tickets. Get the name, Dell, and we'll give it to Justin, and their tickets will be waiting at the door for him. So let's get the name, and bring your ID, and you'll have your tickets waiting for you. It starts at 4 this Saturday. Now, if you can't go, don't get the tickets.
Bring your ID and bring your mask and go watch.
Yeah, bring your mask.
You now, 4 o'clock is when the card starts. The preliminary, so obviously, right. It's going to be a while, but they'll be commenting on the fights and things like that. It's a fun podcast. They do a really good job with it. They do a really good job. We had Lance McCullers on our podcast, me and Eric did, talking about, doing. I mean, Lance knows his stuff, and so does Carlos. This is their passion. They're really into MMA, so they've got a great And I'll tell you what, we'll also give, if you don't win the tickets now, we'll give some away in the 8 o'clock hour as well.
Oh, yeah.
We'll give another pair away.
So no, Justin said just whatever you want to give away. We'll be giving them away all morning right here on ESPN.
All morning long, so we will do that for you. We're going to break it right now. When we get back, the NFL feels its first official, I guess you could say its first official hit from the coronavirus. We'll get to that and tell you what that is here in just a moment. And we'll get into the NBA, because I thought Wingo and Golic had some interesting discussions about what the season could be like for the NBA. It's going to be a little different and kind of exciting in theory, I think. 7:15 here on the bench.
ESPN 97.5. Time to talk about Jeff Aronoff at Absolute Marble and Granite. It's raining out there today, and that curtails any work outside, but there's plenty of work to be done inside as well. If you need an entire room, I mentioned this before. After the I talked to Jeff after the after Harvey, and he said, "Man, I am just putting in entire rooms, like playrooms for the kids, where I'll put in all of the countertops, and and then the cabinets come in and everything else, and he's making it so it's a great playroom for the kids. You can do that. You can redo your entire kitchen. He can get that. You can redo your entire bathroom. If you've got big jobs for Jeff, he is here for you. He ain't doing." I lost a few tiles in my bathtub. That's not what he do. What he do is he gets there and he's going to reinvent your home or your business. And he can be the architect, the designer, and he can be the construction as well. All you got to do is let him come, take a look at your place, and he can tell you how great it can be, and it'll make a huge marble and tile make a huge difference to any look. So if you're looking for that, give Jeff a call, tell him you heard it here on ESPN 97.5, and tell him you want your 20% off. 713-880-2822, 713-880-2822 is Absolute Marble and Granite.
From the U.S.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. John and Lance, along with Dell, it's 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. You are welcome to get in here and hang out with us. All right, you got some stuff. You got the cancellation of the Hall of Fame game?
Yeah. Well, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it was.
Oh, that's it. Yeah. That makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. I feel bad for these guys. I feel bad for all the kids that lose their senior year baseball season or volleyball season or whatever season that they were in, these Hall of Famers now. Are they going to do it? Is it going to be a virtual Hall of Fame celebration? What a ripoff for these guys that are this is the event of their life, and it's it just sucks.
It won't be virtual. They'll push it back to, I guess, a double class.
I get it. They're pushing it back, but
everything's going to keep getting pushed back.
But even when they do push it back, how many people are going to be able to attend and everything else?
Well, I don't know if you are listening to the.
No, I mean they're going to push it back to 2021.
Yeah, a full year. But waiting for the vaccine. This idea of just pushing back and everything's fine. Baseball said, we're just going to push our season. Everyone keeps saying, let's push it back. The virus will be gone in two or three months. And here we are, biggest surge in history yesterday. No. Virus, no. Just push it back. By October, football start. Everything's fine by October. Based on what? Based on what science? I'm waiting for anyone to tell me the reason Fauci tried to tell y'all a second wave could be coming. That's what I'm worried about. Football really shouldn't expect to play with anyone in the stands and maybe even not even play. And everyone's like, nah, Fauci's crazy. Fauci's crazy. Football's gone. Why is that? Because when it gets cold, the virus dies in the cold. Not the heat. We messed that up. It's not the heat. The virus doesn't die in the heat. It dies in the cold. Oh, okay.
No, that's not true.
Exactly. No.
So the NFL
didn't die in the heat either.
So the NFL's plan is no fans in the first 6 to 8 rows for whatever reason. It's not like you're close to the players even if you're in the first row.
For whatever reason.
Well,
the reason is
you're not,
because
you're not
they're putting advertising there and they're going to recoup some of their money. Advertising, like in soccer, is what they're doing. The first 6 to 8 rows are going to have advertising. So advertisers now will have a new opportunity to be seen on television with brand placement. So some of the money that they're going to be losing from the lack of people in the stands, they're going to try and recoup from brand new advertising opportunities, which will be interesting because I wouldn't rule out advertising on patches on uniforms either.
Nope.
Way to, you know, improve the money and increase the money, and the players are going to be all for it. You can NASCAR them up. They're not going to care.
Yeah. No. No, you can't care. Oh, well. And, yeah, I could see giant placards up there on the first, you
That's
know,
their
you know,
plan.
In the seats, yeah. That'll be cool. That's fine. I don't, you know what? These guys got to get their, they got to get their bag. So
how about New York is going to be sitting there with people in the stands, John, and we're going to be in Texas like, hey, why is New York here to do this? Like, what?
Well, we're going to have fans in the stands. We don't care.
You think?
We're going to do it. Yeah. We're going to do it. We're gonna separate, and we're gonna have fans in the stands, and we're gonna be fine. We're gonna be just fine, Lance. So that's that.
Okay.
I
want to see. You need to take over as governor.
You're damn right.
No.
Should we have him?
No.
By the way, my gavel gets here today. Pretty excited. My wife was listening to the show yesterday. She goes, "That was a really good show. I really liked it. Did you like it?" I said, "Yeah, I liked it fine." And she got on the Amazon account to look at something. She goes, "You actually bought a real gavel?" I said, yeah. I wasn't joking on the radio. I bought a freaking gavel. That's what I did.
Why do you need a gavel?
She said, you couldn't just do a gavel sound? I said, I mean, it's not as effective as hitting something with a gavel when John says something out of order.
I don't say anything. I don't know where this came from.
I just wasted $17.
You did waste $17.
Oh, you can't tell. That doesn't sound like a gavel. That just sounds like...
It does kind of.
It kind of does sound like a gavel now that I think about it.
Mm-hmm.
I can always return it.
Well, not really.
Why did you return the gavel? Just didn't sound gavelly enough. What was wrong with this gavel?
I got a prediction because did you buy that little wooden thing that comes with the gavel?
Yeah.
I got a prediction you're going to like the sound effect more than the actual. I mean, the action of hitting the gavel is probably satisfying, but the actual sound it makes is probably going to be better for the sound effect.
You're probably right. You're probably right. The act of returning a gavel.
Amazon,
I mean,
don't
is this
care.
Where I am in 2020? I'm like, well, I bought a gavel, but then I had to return the gavel, and I had to drive out to 290 so I could return it because I didn't want to ship the gavel. Like, wait, what? Why'd you get a gavel? Because a court thing.
I got a court bit I'm doing.
I'm doing a bit about courts, and John, what are you, what are you doing with the, why didn't you? This is what my kids will ask. Why didn't you talk about, you know, the football coming up and baseball season? Because we didn't have any, son.
You just address every kid as, hey, stop badgering the witness.
Yeah.
Stop badgering.
There was no baseball or football or basketball, son. That's why. Don't you remember when you're out riding your scooters and watching hours and hours and hours of YouTube videos and playing hours and hours of NBA 2K20? You didn't know while you were doing that we were busy having no sports? Dummies.
As we continue with Lance bringing us all down about how there'll be no sports.
Yeah, right.
I feel like if momentum builds, now these sports will be playing in a bubble. Like the women's leagues starts their games on Saturday. If they can get through a bubble situation and not even like the same one the NBA is doing without any major complications, that's one domino down. The MLS starts July 8th. If they get through another one and they will be in the bubble, they're actually actually the NBA is going to actually see how that works out before they even start playing. If that bubble starts to go and nothing awful happens, that builds more momentum. I think the NFL and college football say, I know they're different situations. If Major League Baseball, if basketball and soccer can figure it out, I think they'll enter it with more confidence. Now, what happens once it starts is a different ballgame. But I think all these leagues are just looking at each other going, hopefully you guys don't screw it up, which leaves it open for us to do it.
That's a good point.
Yeah, and tell us what went well and what didn't. And now we can learn from your mistakes.
You're going to like the answers you get about basically just self-quarantining the whole time?
Well, that's going to be it. That's what I said. I mean, incarcerate is the wrong word, but honestly, you almost got to lock the people up. You got to lock everybody up and make sure that they don't interact with other people.
Yeah, you self-quarantine. Yeah. That's all it is. Yeah. You quarantine.
But yeah, you were dealing with so many young people that there's just absolutely
I'm getting pretty sure about college football. I sent two hard drives in to fill in the gaps for 2019 tape I didn't have, and I had a conversation with somebody over at the network. Like, I got to be prepared to just write up draft profiles off of 2019 tape, and on Walker Little's case, 2018 tape.
Well, but here's the deal is that I think – I mean, like here, our experience, and I just got a text from a buddy whose wife and son, they don't even have colds, really. I think what the college experience is finding right now, have you heard any hospitalizations? Or are the coaches are going to be like, hey, you know what? What's the big deal here? If my kid goes on right now for a couple of weeks and he gets the coronavirus and he's better afterwards, until there is a catastrophic or a hospitalization or a kid that's really suffering from it, because we haven't really seen that. We haven't really seen
an athlete
really suffer from this.
I don't disagree, but the problem is you're going to have – the argument falls apart immediately when the pressure of you are willing to take these chances and risk people's lives, and then some stories come out with all it takes is – a couple news agencies to drop a story about a 20-year-old person who, you know, died from this and scare you out of it.
Those stories are on Twitter right now. I have a friend who's 23. That stuff will happen.
But
again, like I said before, though, until it happens to an athlete, because it can happen to that 20-year-old or that 20-year-old or that 20-year-old, until just like with Rudy Gobert, as soon as it happened to an athlete. Now, the next step is when an athlete dies from this, then we're all going to – then it's going to be a huge, huge wake-up call, and then it's going to be, now we can't do it anymore.
But to the point of college football and how it will go down and the momentum and stuff, Phil Fulmer came out and said, yeah, we expect to play, and we expect to have full stadiums. He's the athletic director for a major – well, they're not major as far as success, but they're a major program at college football at Tennessee. We expect to have – stadiums, then we'll work from there. Yeah.
Somebody from exactly. University of Tennessee said that.
But that's what I'm saying. Yeah. College football's thinking is we're gonna plow through, and then we'll figure out things as things go along.
But the problem is, as soon as there's 20 cases or 17 people test positive or whatever, John, what you're saying is not wrong. I'm just saying we have seen no indication that anyone is going to just plow through with multiple positive COVID tests. If they did, restaurants across the city would just stay open. And instead, they're dying because I was talking to our friend just yesterday. He's like, dude, he said the open-close thing where you close for 14 days, he goes, this just isn't sustainable. Three more restaurants closed yesterday, and there's a pretty good chance there's a lot will be gone by August because they just can't. They're having a hard enough time with just people not coming back or spending their money. And if you commit, you have to commit. And I just don't know that college football is ready to just full-scale commit. I don't think the players will be willing to do it. I think massive amounts of players will back out on it.
I know James Franklin is. He just said, while I'm coaching, my family will stay in Florida. I'll be separated them for the entire year.
And who doesn't want their family to be in Florida?
That's the safest spot, place by in the world. Way.
Yeah.
But he has decided.
He shouldn't have said that out loud.
His kid, I think his daughter, or I don't know what child is, has sickle cell. So he said, I will quarantine, I will coach football, and they will just stay away for, I guess, the entire year.
That's a great idea. All right. And it worked out for Sean Payton and his marriage. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in here on ESPN 97.5. In the meantime, let's talk about Chastain Ford and my peeps over at Chastain Ford. And I just love those people, and I love my vehicle. And you, I'm telling you, when you see the F-150s and the F-250s, and they've got some, if you want to really spruce it up, you really, really can. And right now you can get that job done because it's unbelievable. You know, usually it was you do a 4-year deal or a 5-year deal to get your vehicle. Now you can do 7 years of interest-free payments. That is ridiculous. Ridiculous. 7 years interest-free payments. My people, you got to take advantage of this. If you're paying interest right now on your car loan, trade that in and get you a new one where you're not paying any interest. Let them pay for your car, for the money that for your car. It's unbelievable. This is the best ever. And, oh, by the way, if you're having your problems, you've got 6 months of no payments, and you also got nothing down. So it's a win-win-win for you. And the people to do it with are the people over at Chastain Ford because they are awesome. They're going to get you in the right place to get your vehicle, no matter what it is. They are going to work that deal until it is perfect for you. And then they're going to service everything that they sell as well. You're looking for a great dealership. I love these guys. You will too. Chastain Ford on 610, just 2 exits from 59. Homestead, not Hempstead, 5 minutes from downtown, ChastainFord.com.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Did you see, it was interesting because it was just yesterday or the day before that the Cowboys were surprised that Dak Prescott would only take a 4-year deal and not a 5-year deal. And now Pro Football Talk is saying Deshaun Watson's extension, when concluded, may be only for 3 years. Tunsil got 3 years, 22 yep. a year. And Deshaun... they're saying that Deshaun wants a 3-year deal. Now, the shorter the deal, the greater the risk the player assumes that injury or ineffectiveness will keep him from getting another new contract. The longer the deal, the greater the risk the player will be operating under a contract that becomes leapfrogged by other quarterback deals. Deshaun is going to be good. I don't think is there any question. Deshaun is going to be good. So if I'm Deshaun, yeah, I want just a 3-year deal. If I'm the Texans, I mean, well, he holds all the cards. Listen, if they can't work out a deal, and they will get something done because Bill O'Brien will just give him the house. He'll give him $40+ million and just say for over 3 years and just say, here, Deshaun, that's fine, because he's probably the worst negotiator in NFL history. Just give him the money. Just give him the money. What does he want? Give him the money. So that is more than likely going to happen, and Deshaun holds all the cards.
Yeah.
Because if Deshaun leaves with all of the crappiness of Bill O'Brien as general manager, he's done. He is done. And we've seen Bill O'Brien and his teams, they're at best a 9-win team. Although you got to give them a little bit credit how they won under Hoyer. I mean, they obviously were limited, but they did win football games. So that was good. I mean, that was nice. But I could, matter of fact, all right, put the numbers out there. I'm going to go Deshaun, 3 years, $41
million. For a year?
Yep.
Yeah. That sounds about right. I mean, it's a horrible deal for the Texans, but so yeah, it sounds about right.
Yeah.
A 3-year deal for a great quarterback. Bill O'Brien, every quarterback now realizes it used to be the dream was to get the long-term deal. Now it's to get the short-term deal. It's called the, I think people saw the ancillary benefits of going, you know, of what Kirk Cousins did. And while it wasn't a deal, it was just back-to-back franchise tags followed by a deal. I think players recognize, you know what, I'm more likely to stay healthy than not stay healthy. If I keep getting shorter deals, then I'll have another opportunity to get to a new contract and get new guaranteed money. And that's the idea, is getting the new guaranteed money. What the Texans are going to have to do is try to get Deshaun to lock in on a longer-term contract and then guarantee the whole thing. Anything short of 5 years to me is a disaster for the Texans. It really is. And they have done this to themselves. Allowing Laremy Tunsil to set a precedent for 3 years. This is why you have to have a cap guy with experience and you have to have a real GM. Every deal you do sets a new precedent, can potentially. He reset a market for the whole league on tackles, and the whole league is pissed off at Bill O'Brien. The whole league. Anybody with the tackles pissed off at Bill O'Brien because he leapfrogged the natural jumps in salary that you were going to see. Completely leapfrogged it. And now he also did a three-year deal, which I found out teams were most angry about was a three-year deal because that lets Laremy Tunsil out of the contract in 3 years while he's still in his prime. And then you're going to go, you know, who knows where. So if you do this for a quarterback, and now you've set a precedent for 3 years in a negotiation against just a player who didn't even have an actual agent, just had an advisor behind him. So because you gave in to that, if you do a three-year contract with Deshaun Watson, I mean, this is – it's
Guess
not
–
look, you'll get Deshaun Watson for 8 years potentially, okay? That would be a good run with a quarterback. But quarterbacks are a position where guys play into age 34 and beyond. That's not unusual.
No.
And it really – you don't want to have five-year contracts. You want three-year contracts for running backs, not quarterbacks. And I just don't know that the Texans – I think Bill O'Brien, they don't have the – I don't think they have the moxie and the wherewithal to handle themselves and hold up in aggressive contract negotiations. I don't see any – there is no background or experience that we can point to or history of saying Bill O'Brien is going to be good in more aggressive contract negotiations and will get a deal that is right for the team. There's nothing that tells us that.
Yeah, no. Listen, we're in Bill O'Brien hell. I mean, honestly, the way that this is run,
Del, there was sniffles? Are you hearing
there
sniffles?
There is a, who's got sniffles?
You. We're hearing you clear your nose.
No.
Didn't you tell us, Frankie?
I've got allergies. It's raining pollen all over us.
You're in a house.
You know what? I think we forget that there people still could get a cold. They might, you know, actually get the flu, which would be different. I think we forget that people could actually maybe even cough once in a while without having the Rona.
Excuse me?
Yeah. I mean, no. Well, allergies went
away. You're going to cough in public.
Apparently, allergies went away because Corona came. No one has allergies anymore.
Well, maybe it's Corona allergies.
People are numb nuts. So there was a – let me ask you this. Best – and this is always subjective, but the best – oh my God. What is wrong with me? Oh, here it is. The best rosters in the NFL, ranking the best rosters. I think we got a pretty good idea of what teams have the best rosters. You could argue the Saints. It's between the Saints, the Ravens, the 49ers have a really good roster. The Chiefs are deep. Tampa, with a quarterback now, is going to be really, really interesting. The Cowboys are up there as well. It's based on elite players, above average players, average players, and then below average players at their positions, where they've been ranking position-wise. And you know, the Ravens have some wonderful players. They got a quarterback and defensive tackle in Calais Campbell, but they've got above average players in Mark Andrews, Ronnie Stanley, Marcus Peters. They've got
The Ravens have some high-end talent.
They do it. They just have done a great job. The Saints have elite players at quarterback, wide receiver, linebacker, right tackle. They've got above-average players all over the place. Really good roster. The 49ers as well, Kittle. And Richard Sherman is questionable if he's an elite player anymore. But they've got him. Over the last few years, he's still been an elite player. So where do you think the Texans ranked in this thing as far as elite players, above average players, average, and below average players?
Are we going 1 through 32?
Yeah.
I don't know, like 17?
Lower.
Lower meaning 19? In that direction?
Mean, yeah, yeah, and lower.
Okay, so I'll give a real answer. I thought we were going to just do middle of the pack thing again. Mm-hmm. Based on what I know about the roster, I feel like the Texans are closer to 21.
Texans are 23, according to this.
Yeah. It doesn't strike me as I think they got a chance to outplay that. I think they have a chance to outplay that, but it wouldn't shock me if, you know, defensively, it's really kind of hard to find it's very hard to find plus-plus players on defense. They have a limited amount of plus players, and most of them are just, I think, replaceable guys. I think for the most part, you have replaceable talent, not core players that you build a long-term successful team around. Not on defense.
I don't know if I would agree with all of this. Let's do it on the other side.
All right.
I don't know if I'd agree with all of their rankings of the Texans players, in particular Zach Cunningham.
And Lewis, and we'll do that. Lewis wants to talk about coronavirus, so we'll get to Lewis in a second. If you guys have phone calls, 713-780-3776.
All right, let's talk about GiveMeTheVin.com. That's John Clay Wolf. He's not with us. He's no longer with us today. But, well, he's not dead, but he's just not on the phone today with us. But he is a guy that is going to make you money. He's going to give you money. He is going to give you more money for your vehicle than you would get anywhere else. And he guarantees it, because if he can't beat CarMax's offer, if he doesn't beat CarMax's offer, he just sends you $100. So, and there was a time he said, I'll give you $500. I mean, he's like, I know I'm beating CarMax. I know I'm paying more. And he has been paying more. But the reason is because he goes and sells them at auction, and they're worth more now. So your vehicle is worth more now. And I've talked about over and over and over again is the 84 months of interest-free payments. If you don't take advantage of that, you need to take advantage of that. And, oh, by the way, sell your car for as much as you can get for it at GiveMeTheVin.com and go to the dealership and get that Chastain Ford, preferably, and get that new car that you want. And John Clay Wolf will do it all through the dealership. So if you're looking for that new car or truck, you want to get out of this one, go to John Clay Wolf at GiveMeTheVin.com and sell that car for as much as you can get. GiveMeTheVin.com. That's GiveMeTheVin.com.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, well, let's get Lewis in here before we get into this Texans roster. What do you say, Lewis?
Hey, guys. Thanks. It's good to hear y'all's voice. First of all, I want to start saying I've been a big follower of y'all for many years. And I'm glad y'all are always together. Y'all are my dream team here. But, John, I wanted to say shout out to you. I saw that special about your daughter on the news. And I just wanted to say I fought this COVID for 22 days. I spent about 11 days in the hospital, about 6 days in ICU, home recovering. Got to listen to y'all every morning. Got me through it. Luckily, like the doctor said, you know, I get a second lease on life. And I just want to say that baseball will be able to, I think, get through it, obviously with no fans in the stands. But I just don't see a college football season or NFL season, you know, or even basketball to finish it up because of the contact situation and everything. You just got too much a closeness to each other to follow it. And I hate to say this, but I think sports is going to stop until that vaccine or medication comes out to fight this thing at a bigger rate. Because it's dangerous. It really is. And I just want to say this, too, about when y'all were talking about the Texans and everything. Between Lance and John, just get y'all's opinion on it, and I'll hang up. Cause I'm
gonna wait. Wait, Lewis. Uh-huh. Don't hang up, because I got a couple questions for you. First of all, okay. you were hospitalized for 11 days. Tell us about your what you went through.
Well, I remember the days real quick, and I'll talk fast. May 28th, I started contracting a fever, but it broke all the way through. I just say I was trying to fight it at home. Tuesday, I finally went to the doctor to see. They told me it was two of these situations, but they gave me a COVID test. About 5 days later, they told me I was diagnosed. Sunday, when I woke up, I was having trouble breathing. I was grasping for air. So finally, I went to the emergency room. Come to find out, my oxygen levels in my blood system were real low. I was about 74%, if I'm not mistaken. They told me if I get to 70 or below, it becomes heart failure and kidney failure. I got approved Monday night for Resmedir, I believe, from Gilead Science. Yep. I got five doses, high fever. I went through, I was 103.8. I wasn't eating. I lost my sense of smell and taste. I was really struggling. Finally, after about my fourth dose, and they were giving me steroids every day, about my fourth dose, as I woke up, I got alert. I got to see what stuff was. I got to smell. I got to finally eat, a taste. Obviously, I wasn't eating a lot. I lost a lot of weight. But here's the thing, how y'all saved me. I had to lay on my stomach a lot. There was times when I was on my stomach for 30 straight hours to get the pressure off my lungs. My lungs was covered up so much with that COVID, and that's when I was having trouble breathing, but they would put me on my stomach. So I popped on 97.5 on my phone, put my headphones on, and got to listen to y'all every morning, because you guys don't understand that you talk about sports and everything, but also, too, that sense of humor and everything that brings it. It would make me laugh and everything. But I look forward to listening to y'all every morning. This is my first time I ever called to talk to y'all, ever. When y'all were on another station a long time ago. And, John, I remember you having your shows, and I would watch them on TV. And then when I saw that thing about your daughter, I said, man, it struck home, you know. And I hope this is as far as it gets for her.
Yeah.
Because when you get to that next level, it's tough, because like the doctor tells you, and they're honest with you all the steps of the way. Just, hey, look, you're in that percentage now where that needle can go either way. And luckily I made it.
Yeah.
I made good. It. And I just wanted to say the seriousness of everything, because it caught up to me. I was cocky. I don't need a mask. I don't need the, and it got me. And like the doctor told me, it got you good. And it did. It was a big wake up call. So I tell people all the time, wash your hands, wear your mask, be very careful on what you do, because you don't know how this is going to affect you. Because, you know, obviously, you know, I really pay attention to the disease now. And I hate to say this, because I hate to be a doomer, but I think it's going to get worse. And in these last 2 days, with the high rates of it being so high, that's what scares me. And I think people are just thinking, but if it was me, if I was the commissioner of the NFL and basketball, I would just halt the season until we get to 2021 and there's a vaccine. Because y'all said something earlier in this show that's so true. What happens when a player gets very ill and gets close to that edge? Is it really worth it?
Right.
Yeah.
And Lewis?
And my thing real quick on the Texans is that just the feeling on how he built this team and everything, and I totally agree with y'all, but don't you get the feeling that Cal McNair's probably told him, hey, look, you got 1-2 years at this, so do what you got to do to give me the Super Bowl, and then if it doesn't work, you're out? Because it just seems like he's built this team like the Florida Marlins when they were doing their World Series runs, you know, just a quick fix and try to get to the next level.
You know? The only difference is the Marlins had really good players.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the only difference.
Hey, and Lewis, thank you for listening. Not only listening all these years, but thanks for the kind words. We're glad we could do something for you during that tough time. I was interested. Bring him back on just for a second. Remdesivir, did that work for you? Did that help? Because they're also they're in trials right now for an inhaled version of it.
Let's put it this way. When I had gone in, the COVID had attacked my lungs so bad. You know, when they take a picture of your lungs, it's supposed to be black because it's supposed to be clear. Yeah. Mine had so many spider webs, that's how much it was covered. And that's why I was having so much trouble breathing. I got approved late at night Monday. They gave me my first dose about 11:30. It was 200 milligrams. And then I took four other doses, and I was supposed to take my fifth dose on a Saturday, my last dose, but the doctor says, hey, everything's looking so good now, we don't want to overdo it because it could eventually hurt your kidneys. But yeah, Resmedir, it saved my life.
So they did that and also steroids for you? Because that's the other thing. I think they're doing that in conjunction.
Correct. Yeah, after they would give me my treatment of that medicine, about 30 minutes later, they would come in and flush in my system through my IV. I had two IVs in me. And then right after that, they would give me a steroid to help my lungs try to go gain the strength.
So you've only been out. When did you get out?
I got out last Wednesday. I did have to come home with the oxygen tank. Mm-hmm. But I've been off of that oxygen tank since Friday.
And how you feeling when you move around? Do you just get gassed easy?
Short out of breath. Okay. I'm in for a good recovery system, you know. But like I tell people, at least I got a recovery road. And I feel bad, and I'm going to tell you, I'm not an expert at this. I'm studying more. But from what I gather and all the doctors I hear across the United States, you know how people die from this is they suffocate, you know, and that's tough. And yeah. I know there's people younger than me. I'm 48. There's people younger than me that have passed away and are obviously older than me. And, man, I know what they're going through, and it's tough. And it's tough because you're isolated. You're in a room. Your family cannot see you, nothing. So when you're on your last days, you're by yourself, and that's tough. That's very tough.
That had to be an unbelievable, tough experience. Wow. Thanks for sharing, Lewis. We appreciate it.
Yeah. Hey, guys.
And thanks for listening to us, man.
All the time, man. All the time.
We appreciate it. Man, that's a hell of a story. See, that's the thing is that a lot of people aren't getting that experience or Christina's experience. Christina told us about her experience and how difficult it was, and I think she's still feeling the effects of it. And Lewis, you know, that's might be a lifetime of effects that he's going to be feeling from it.
Yeah.
As opposed to what a lot of people are going through, the asymptomatic people or my people here or the people that I described earlier. Wow. That is just, and yeah, you know, it's a shame because my buddy Nick, his mom died during this. And, you know, it was at a time when, and she had problems. She didn't have coronavirus, but she was an older woman, obviously. And she had to die alone in the hospital, and he wasn't able to see her for months. And it was just like, it was just so heartbreaking and so heartbreaking for her that she didn't have anybody by her. And all of these people, these 120,000 people that have died, in this country so far are for the most part having to die alone unless they're dying at home. But for the most part, I think it's happening at hospitals. So man, that's just a heartbreaking story, but on the positive side, you know, he was on his stomach and he listened to us in the morning.
I will say.
I want to know. Did he say we saved lives?
Yeah, no, he
didn't.
He
die?
Yeah, he said, call us. He stopped short of calling us heroic.
I will. So yes. when people talk, when you watch, look on Twitter, and people like, oh, wear a mask, and you think that's a trite thing to say, maybe because you see it from a celebrity, and you're like, shut up, celebrity. Lewis ain't a celebrity. Lewis is a man who told you he kind of was like, oh, whatever, coronavirus.
So the problem is you've got two very different experiences. You got the one Wendy Granato has.
Yeah.
Or has had. Right. And you got the one that Lewis has.
Well, don't.
And you don't want to be on the Lewis side.
Don't play the lottery.
And it is a lottery. More times than not, you'll be on the Wendy side, which is good. But when you're on the Lewis side, it's brutal.
And that attitude is one of the reasons why I feel like, I said it before, it's like an American failure. Because Lewis pointed out what could happen with basketball. You know, there are leagues that are actually playing basketball right now.
Yeah.
In Europe. But you know why? Yeah. Because they found a way to tamp it down and take it serious. So it isn't just simply about context. It's about this entire country pretending like it's not a big deal.
We can't do it. That's There's too many people who don't. Yeah.
I'm saying people have pretended like it's not a big deal.
Yeah. You're just not going to be able to.
Dell, did you get that? We got a tweet from a listener of that woman screaming at the city council.
Yes.
Did you see that?
Yes.
Everyone has seen it.
That's every.
We got to play that.
That's every conspiracy theory going around. And one thing I found is people who don't believe, like, this runs across. You ought to see some of the comments on Bun B's. One of the guys from 3-6 Mafia, Bun B, said, "Hey, everyone, his numbers are spiking. Please be safe. Wear a mask," on his Instagram. And I think the DJ from 3-6 Mafia, you know, like, no, Bun, this is a trick to get you so you can't vote. And somebody else said, we have mail-in ballots. Everything's fine. No, this is to control you. You need to arm yourself and get ready for the war. Like, what? Excuse me?
What is Pizzagate?
Oh, you don't.
Just Google it during the break. Oh, by the way, Lance McCullers is 8:45.
Oh, on the other side.
8:45. No, Lance McCullers 8:45 now.
Oh, 8:45. Yeah. Oh, okay. All right. Well, in the meantime, we will take a break, and we're going to talk about those Texans. Lewis wants us to talk Texans. We're talking Texans because that's what Lewis wants. In the meantime, we're going to talk Champion Energy. Champion.energy/1560. Man, it's so hot. You've got to have it on all day. The kids are home all day. It's all of a sudden, it's building, and you got to, oh, my gosh, look at my electricity bill. Well, look at mine. I laugh at it. I scoff at my electricity bill. You know why? Because it is minimal, it is insignificant. That's right. I insult it. Sometimes I spit on it. But you, my friends, can also have an insignificant electricity bill because Champion Energy is not as greedy as that's just it's a matter of greed. That's all it is. Is how much do you want to charge? How many fees do you want to charge? The electricity is all the same. You're not getting better electricity from somebody else. You're just paying more from somebody else. Go to champion.energy/1560 and save. Champion.energy/1560.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/Ohio's time.
Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness, award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.
Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big.